We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. Good morning, everybody. Ben Davis, Radio.com, MLB Insider. He will join us around 9:25. We'll take a look at the Atlanta Braves. We'll take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll take a look at why some teams with the Brewers' similar record are sellers. We'll take a look at if the Brewers are going to get to that point. He'll join us. We'll talk some baseball in about 25 minutes. Right now, again, it is a Tuesday, which means it's a Twitter Tuesday here on The Fan. Your chance at Perkins, $20 to Perkins, and we're going to sweeten the pot a little bit for tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair. The question we've thrown out there for you today is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big into sports is your significant other? So, ladies, respond about your man. Guys, respond about your girl. What are you at? Or any other variation of partners, whatever. How big into sports is your significant other? I said mine's about a 3, and Chuck said that his girlfriend was a 3, and throughout the few years they've been together, she's gone all the way up to a 7.
Yep, she's a 7, without question.
And Freeze, probably, I don't even know if I'm a 7.
Probably ascending. We could probably play Who's Dumber in Sports between you and her if you want.
Oh, that'd be great.
Or we could get the two ladies.
Never.
Well, nope. You know, we did that once before with the NCAA tournament. And that caused problems.
Yeah, and then you called my wife names.
No, I didn't. You thought I was, and I wasn't calling her names. No, no. That was your bad assumption. No. Yeah, that caused a big mess. NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. We move on.
That is the mother of my unborn child you're talking about.
Yeah, and I never said a bad thing about her.
So we asked you guys on Twitter, and you can again use the hashtag CWTickets at 1057FMTheFan. How big into sports is your significant other? Adam says, mine's a 10, guys. She enjoys and understands the games just as much as I do. Bucks, Brewers, Packers. We're going to Pittsburgh in 3 weeks for the Brewers game. That is for our anniversary. So how about that?
Oh, that's awesome.
PG3 says, mine's a 7. She's into the Pack, the Brewers, the MLS, the English Premier League,
mm-hmm.
and soccer in general. We're not talking soccer.
No.
On the station. She likes going to games, but it's very weather dependent. I love that she's into it.
I mean, weather dependent. You're always going to get good weather inside of Miller Park.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
How's that?
I mean, it might, dude, going to Miller Park in the summer can be hit or miss.
The other day was, Sunday was great. Sunday was great, depending where you're sitting, too. I mean, as long as you're not sitting in the sun. But Sunday, though, wasn't as, I thought it was supposed to be really, really hot out there. Where we were sitting, it was fine.
The third base side, I never sit on the third base side.
Yeah, but if you, like, we're in the club section, we had shade in the first inning already, where we were sitting. But
well, depending where you're different because you can go scooting to the AC.
You can, too, there, but I'm just, you can, you know, we were walking down in the low section before the game, running into a lot of listeners, and it was really warm down there. Sweating my ass off down there. So I guess, I mean, if that, yeah, but I mean, if you're sitting the third base side in this, in July, on a 3:15 start, it might be different. Like tomorrow, at a 1 o'clock start, it might be hot out there.
Well, and then when there's like a threat of storms, and then they close the roof, and it, you can smell everybody's armpit.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst part about any of it. How into sports is your significant other, and do you like that? I would say my wife's a 3. That's great. I don't need to go home and do this show again with her.
Yeah, but when she's watching... But that's the extreme, though. like a 10. I think that's a 10. Where you get in the car. Like, Shannon and I will never get in a car together and be talking about a game or talking about sports or anything. Never. Not at all. But that would be like a 10. And I don't need that either. I'm with you on that. But see, that's extreme. You know, but you, when she's a 3, what does that mean? What does that entail?
She likes to watch the Packers. Big into the Packers. We watch every game. Brewers, she'll watch if it's on. She knows a lot of the players. Actually, I might put her up to a 4 or 5.
So will she watch TV in a separate room with the Brewers are on, or will she be down there watching the game with you?
If the Brewers are on, yeah. Like last night, we watched a little bit of the Brewers, and then she went upstairs and watched something else.
Okay, so she won't be with you for the whole game.
No, and I feel like you look down on me for that.
No, I'm part of trying to understand. No, you're not the only one. You're taking this personally. Don't do this. If she's going up, but see, that wouldn't be for me though. If that's for you, that's the way you want it. That's fine. But I'm saying I don't want to be in a relationship where she's in a different room watching TV and I'm watching TV in a different room. That wouldn't work for me.
Well, it's not like we live in different houses.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you know, if you go home. Like, I know certain guys that go home, boom, they go right in their man cave, and they're watching the game. And then the woman is maybe upstairs or in a different room watching TV in the room. They don't see each other the rest of the night. Some relationships have perfectly fine like that. I wouldn't want that. That's not for me. I don't want that. I'm glad she wants to watch the game in the same room with me. That's good.
But you're controlling what's on the TV. So you're saying if she picked what's on the TV and it wasn't sports, you would watch the TV with her?
No, but she wants to watch the game.
Well, then isn't that just a perfect life that you have?
Well, don't be snotty about it. I'm just telling you.
Well, what if she wanted to watch something else? You wouldn't be in the room with her.
But
You'd go somewhere else to watch the Brewers.
Yes, but we're talking about
your
significant other being in the sports. Yes. But we're talking about how your significant others are in the sports. And I'm telling you, she doesn't want to go in the other room. She wants to watch the game.
Vincent is downtown at 799-1250. What's up, Vincent?
Hey, not much. I was just saying, my wife's like a 10, because for her birthday, I went to the Gold Cup Finals, and she hates soccer, and she was happy to go.
For your wife's birthday,
yep,
you took her to the Gold Cup Finals?
In Chicago, yeah.
And she didn't want to go?
Well, she wanted to go to Chicago, but she didn't want to go to no soccer game.
So that was the caveat.
So how did you make that happen?
Oh, I told her we were gonna spend the weekend without our kid.
Didn't matter where you were?
Yeah. And well, you know, in my relationship, sometimes she sticks around, watches the baseball, she don't really like she's on her phone and then she'll go to the room, you know, and it works out for us. You know, and I would just like to say real quick, you know, like that, you know, Bart, you taking advice from your partner over there. He's, you know, he's had a couple of them. You know what I'm saying? You only just had the one.
Oh, so that makes me a bad person. I know crap about relationships then, eh? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. The fact that I'm like the only one who's ever had 2 divorces. I guess I suck. Yeah, don't listen to me. I've never said I'm handing out. I'm not handing out relationship advice here. I'm not handing out relationship advice.
Vincent,
you guys are awesome, man.
Vincent, I'm not handing out. I'm just talking about sports here. Yeah. Don't listen to me when it comes to how you should live your life with your woman, because I'm like the worst person to ask about that. Apparently, because I've been divorced twice.
Well, I'm just saying, Bart, you just go for whatever works, man.
Well, know? Of course. Everybody should. And that's why Bart said I was good. I wasn't coming down. I'm just saying it wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, no, but my wife really likes NFL football. And
so you keep bringing her soccer games, you gotta be through. You're going to be through a few marriages, my friend.
Thanks, Vincent. Right,
thanks, Vincent.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Thanks.
Right. See you, buddy.
Well, at least I don't force Shannon to go to anything with me that she doesn't want to go to.
Oh, man. My wife hates soccer. She will not.
Oh, no, this is the first thing I've ever learned.
She cannot stand the sound of it on TV.
Okay. Now, I never knew that before.
Oh, yeah?
No.
No, she hates the sound of it on TV. She'll watch basketball. She doesn't like the squeaky shoes either. But she'll watch basketball. She'll watch baseball.
Doesn't like the squeaky shoes?
Yeah. Because it's the entire game is squeak, squeak, squeak,
oh,
squeak,
see,
squeak.
I don't even think about it.
And then soccer the entire time is chants and crowd. Or unless you're watching an MLS game, yeah. It's crickets.
And baseball?
Well, baseball is just the general. Just
the popping of the mitt. The popping of the mitt.
You know, the general chattiness of a baseball game when we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Sure. And there's people always sitting behind the, you know, the behind home plate trying to make faces on TV. Now, pretending they're on TV.
Oh, front row Amy. She stayed till the end last night, I noticed.
See, I don't even know. I don't even recognize her anymore.
I only see her when there's nobody else there. You know what I did see? Oh, what game was it? You know Marlins Man?
Yeah.
There was a fake Marlins Man.
At the Brewer game?
No, it was at a different game.
Okay.
There was a guy that dressed up in Marlins gear, but he wasn't Marlins Man.
So an imposter.
Yeah. But he wore like different Marlins. He was like a fake Marlins Man.
See, Marlins Man is the current day. You remember the guy who used to go to games?
I think that's brilliant.
With the colored hair? Today, Marlins Man is that guy.
I think that's genius.
So people thought he was Marlins Man.
Yeah, if I ever sit front row at a game, I'm going to wear Marlins stuff.
So front row Amy, doesn't she usually stay to the end? She's keeping score, paying attention.
Keeping
to
score,
stuff.
Yeah, keeping score.
Does she ever talk to like the person next to her?
I've never sat by.
Does she ever take her husband or anybody else? She has just one seat.
I think she gives away some of the tickets to kids and stuff.
Okay, well, that's good. Nice. Great.
Now, I could be completely making
that
up.
Now, we should ask Amy what her significant other, what his interest in sports is. Probably not as much as hers.
No, I think that when, I do wonder this, because I was wondering this last night. We watched the game for a little bit downstairs, and then I was alone in the living room watching the end of the game. And then I stayed up and watched it till the end. And I watched a little wrestling, of course. But, you know, she's not into that. And then when I see other people tweeting and interacting, and then everybody that calls the post-game show, like, where are you watching the game? Is it just you? Do you make your wife sit in the room with you? Every time that I've ever mentioned that sometimes I watch the TV downstairs and sometimes she watches the TV upstairs, I do think that you kind of like you worry about my relationship for me.
No, I don't know if that's a common thing.
I don't either. I think it's more common than the other way.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to shackle my wife down to the chair to sit through a Brewers
not
game.
Not if she doesn't
especially
want
not
to.
This season.
No, not if she doesn't. No, don't let her do anything that she doesn't want to do. But you knew that going into the relationship too. It depends on what you want. If you're good with it, then fine. Hey, it doesn't matter what other people think or look down. It's matter how good you how happy you are. And if it works for you, it works for you. Not saying what works for you or works for me, works for each other, if that makes sense.
Plus, you got to look at it from my wife's perspective.
How's that?
You work hard all day. You come home. You want to spend your whole night with me?
Well, you know, I always feel that way about me, too. It's like Shannon will listen to our show.
You could be anywhere in the world. You want to be with me?
Yeah, Shannon will listen to our show, and it's like, why do you want to listen to me for 4 hours? You're away from me for 4 hours. Isn't that like a break from me? Don't you get a... I mean, take it me 24 hours. Hell, I don't want to wish that... Like I said, two marriages. That shows you 24 hours of me doesn't work necessarily. Got to be some different options there.
That would be like if we did the show for 4 hours and then hung out at night.
Oh, gosh. Well, you and I saw each other at Taco Bell for maybe 15 seconds the other day, which is okay. I think you and I are better hanging out in public together now than we would have been 2 years ago. Wouldn't have been two, yeah, like, you know, our golf outings. Shannon said, Bart should be, maybe I'll get Bart this year in my, because she goes to the golf outing. Maybe I'll get Bart in my foursome. And I said, oh, I don't know if you want that. She goes, why not? I said, Bart, I think would be uncomfortable in that if she was in your...
Oh, I like Shannon.
Okay. I just thought maybe you might be a little edgy on that.
I'm edgy when I golf.
Huh?
I still have not swung a club yet this year. At all.
Well, you probably save yourself some frustration. And some money.
Yeah, and money, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, where sometime next week I'm going to save some money by getting some good deals at Perkins, and you and I are going to hang out in public.
Yes.
Because I'm taking you and Horvy.
Well, let's get it done. We want to get it done.
We got the Shrimply the Best menu going on at Perkins right now. Cool off the grill grates for a night. Go into Perkins. Let them give you some for a night, for a night, for a night, for a night. Let them, you don't eat, for a night. Let them give you some of the coastal-inspired meals. They've got a bunch of different Shrimply the Best options, such as the Shrimp Pasta Primavera, if you're thinking Italian. You want to try the Low Country-inspired shrimp and grits, they've got that. The Southwest Shrimp Avocado Salad tastes like summer. Very good.
It just sounds good.
Well, I know.
Avocado and shrimp? I've never had that combination.
A little Southwest flair?
I may have to get two of those.
Yeah, that should be very good. So check that out. That's at Perkins. And tonight, Kids Eat Free after 4 o'clock. Kids Eat Free after 4 on Tuesdays and Saturdays. You take the family out. You get a meal, whether it's the Shrimply the Best options or eggs or a burger, whatever you get. The kid will get something free off the kid menu. That's at Perkins Tuesdays and Saturdays. We are going to talk with Ben Davis, Radio.com MLB insider, because we're kind of in a bubble, right? We're looking at the Brewers. It's frustrating for us. We're watching every game with or without our spouses, and it's frustrating. We're thinking, okay, could they actually be a team that sells at the trade deadline? Let's go out of the bubble for a minute and try to get a broader perspective about what this Brewers team looks like. Ben Davis, very familiar with the NL East, very familiar with the National League. We'll get his thoughts. We'll do that next. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
A big pitch when it counts. You know, offensively, there's certainly moments that we got to capitalize on. We're not hitting into the best luck right now.
That's Craig Counsell after the game, giving us the same stuff he gave us the other night. And there's been some calls from some of you guys that thinks he needs to be more fiery in these media get-togethers. I just don't know what that does. I do think that he is, you know, growing frustrated. Fox Sports Wisconsin is doing a very good job at any time there's a blunder of any kind, going immediately to Craig. And Craig's face is always like, you got to read it a little bit, but it looks like, what is going on here?
Takes his hat off, readjusts it, you know, puts his hands on his face.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that this year.
For sure. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Brewers lose last night by the final of 4-2. There were a couple times that happened last night. Ryan Braun threw the ball back to first, and it got away from Aguilar. I would have given the error on Braun, by the way. He's the one that decided to make the throw, but Aguilar got the error at first. And it was kind of like a why-did-you-even-make-that-throw situation. Council's like, And then Keston Hira gets caught again between third and home. As good as he was at the dish last night, Keston Hira's had some things that he needs to work on. Keep in mind, he's very young, still a rookie, was just drafted 2 years ago. But the base running for him has been sketchy at best sometimes.
Yeah, there's certain things he does in defense, too. A little anxious out there sometimes, but hey, you know, he handles himself well at the plate. I mean, number one, I mean, at the plate, when you see him, his approach to the plate and how hard he hits balls, I mean, he's a major league hitter. I mean, that's without question. Those other things, they could fix. Those other things come in time. But, I mean, so far, a lot to like about Keston Hira. Yeah, I'm thinking he's here to stay for good.
Yeah, and for a while, he's been floated as a possible trade target that other teams could acquire if the Brewers do want to add an arm or a piece. It does not seem like that would be in the Brewers' best interest.
No, you got a second baseman who's under control like that, and you found out what you got with him, Bart. I wouldn't trade him.
But the Brewers still could make trades, or they could make trades that help other teams compete because they're in sort of a weird situation right now. On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, we're joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider Ben Davis joins us on the phone. And Ben, I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We talk about the Brewers here. It is kind of an interesting situation because they're a game over 500. They're underperforming from a year ago. They're still in these races. But at some point, if a team like the Diamondbacks right behind them or these teams like the Giants, if they're being considered sellers and they're just a few games below the Brewers, I mean, I think the Brewers are almost straddling that line right now, Ben.
Yeah, they definitely are. You look at it, there's so many teams out there that Are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? What are we going to do? And I think that's really what, you know, that playing for that second wild card spot really brings up, because it's, you know, I think a lot of GMs are under the gun, especially the fact that, you know, July 31st is it. That's it. You can't make any deals after that. So it definitely puts a lot more pressure on these GMs to do what they need to do. And, you know, the Brewers are in a tough spot. Same way here in Philadelphia. Like, are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? You just don't know. It's still early on yet, but, you know, that deadline's coming sooner than we think.
The Brewers only one game over the 500 mark. They've been struggling. At one point, they were 10 games over, and things were looking good, and they were going to take off. But it's been a struggle for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Should this team be better than this, you think?
Well, I think ultimately it always comes down to pitching. Should they be better? Well, they definitely have the lineup. Are they underperforming? I don't know if you can really say that. I think that the National League Central is the best division in baseball. I mean, look at all these teams. These guys are battling out. It's a deep division. It really is a deep division. And it's so hard to run away with a division because you have the Cubs up there at the top. And then, you know, you play each other so many times, you beat up on each other. That's why the record is where it is. I wouldn't say they're underperforming. I think it's just a byproduct of how good the division is.
Radio.com Sports, MLB insider Ben Davis also does work, the color analyst for the Phillies. So you're very familiar with a lot of these teams and definitely these races. You've got teams like the Phillies and the Nationals, and they're kind of, you know, they're in it. And you've got teams like the Brewers and the Cubs, and they're in it. And I think for any one of these teams, those teams out west too, I think if you're going to make moves, are you playing to just get into the wild card, and are you ultimately playing to just get eaten up by maybe the Braves or the Dodgers? So I think you do got to look at that too. These teams, this kind of grouping of teams, of all the teams I mentioned, are the Dodgers, do you think, that far ahead of everybody else, or can you make a run, just get in the playoffs, do what you can do, get in the playoffs, and it could be anybody's game? Because the Dodgers, I mean, they're looking to go to the World Series for their third straight year. I think the gap is pretty wide between them and everybody else.
Yeah, you want to tell yourself that just get into the playoffs, because anything can happen. That's what's so great about the game of baseball, in my opinion. You know, you can run up against a pitcher who just has it. You can run up against a lineup that's just clicking on all cylinders. But you look at two teams like the Braves and the Dodgers, and you're thinking, I don't know. This Dodgers team, they're in town right now, and they beat up on the Phillies last night, 16-2. They are unbelievable. They're so deep. We were out in L.A. earlier this year, and I was talking with Oral Hershiser, who does the color for the Dodgers. And he said, Ben, I'm not going to lie to you. He goes, we could probably have two teams in the National League West. And he goes, not only could we have two teams, we could compete as having two different teams. That's how deep this lineup is. Their starting pitching is off the charts. I mean, they can just flat out beat you in so many ways. Their starting pitching is so good. That lineup is so deep. They grind out at bats. I mean, these guys were taking the bats last night, and they never taken a bat off. They hustle. They hit and run. They get bunts down. They do everything. They steal bases. They do everything that you can possibly do. I know they're a very high analytic team. They still play the game the right way, like it was played years ago. Then you look at the Braves. I mean, this Braves team is, again, really deep. That lineup, you got Ozzie Albies hitting eighth. I mean, this is another deep lineup. They pitch it good enough where I think they can stay in ball games, but that lineup is so deep. So I understand your question. Do we really just want to get into the playoffs? Do we want to sell parts of our farm system that can be parts of our future just to get into the playoffs, where ultimately we know we're going to meet our demise when we play the Dodgers or the Braves, because these teams are so good? You know, that's a tough question, but look at the flip side. It is baseball. It's not like it's football. If you're bigger, stronger, faster, most of the times you're going to win. In baseball, you just never know what could happen. As long as you get in, there's a chance you could do some damage.
Radio.com Sports, MLB insider Ben Davis joining us, also color commentator for the Phillies. And the way that I look at, maybe it's the same with Philadelphia right now, but with the Brewers, you've got the teams we just talked about, the Dodgers and the Braves. You say all those things they're good at, and it seems like it's a hard sport, but it seems that, like, success comes easy for them. And with the Brewers, every game is a grind. These last 4 weeks have been a grind. When they win, I don't think they've won a game in the last month by more than two runs. Every game comes down to needing the bullpen, and your pitchers are coming out after five innings.
When you look at the Brewers, a team that tends to not let their pitchers go through the third time in the order and really tries to rely on the bullpen, does it seem hard because maybe that's a bad strategy, or does it seem hard for the Brewers because maybe their talent's just not there?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Phillies are going through the same type of thing right now. It's just like five and dive. That's what you're getting out of your pitchers right now. And it puts so much pressure on that bullpen. You have so many guys, and that's why you're seeing a lot of these ERAs. It's not just the Phillies. It's not just the Brewers. You're seeing a lot of ERAs in bullpens that are through the roof, so much higher than they've been in years past because these guys are kind of getting exposed. They're pitching so many innings. And, you know, you keep running these guys out there, that's what's going to happen. They're going to get tired. They're going to start to elevate the baseball, and they're going to get hit. You know, I can understand why it's frustrating that way from the Brewers' standpoint because everything is a grind. It's you're going to get five runs, and then you know can the offense really sustain a W and get these guys out of a hole? It's not fun to watch from that aspect every day because you're thinking, oh, here we go again. Can't we just have an easy one? Can we please just have an easy game? And that's why you look at teams like the Dodgers or the Braves, where these guys are kind of just walking through games, and you know, they're kind of sleepwalking at times through games because that starting pitching enables them to get so much deeper in the ball games where you don't have to use so many guys come out of the bullpen. It just makes that much easier for you to win on a nightly basis.
If the Brewers become sellers, they would have two guys I think teams would be interested in: Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, 1-year contracts, rental players. What kind of trade bait could they get? What kind of haul could they get for either one of those guys? What do you think?
Well, it depends on what teams are looking for. Obviously, you're talking about two legit bats that can be in the middle of the lineup. I thought the Phillies were going to go out and get Moustakas last year because they needed that left-handed at bat. Can they get, you know, they could probably get maybe some minor league prospects. I wouldn't say the haul would be substantial. I think they could get maybe a couple different pieces. I wouldn't say the haul is substantial because they are both free agents. It's not like they're going to be locked up from the ball club. So it's basically a couple-month rental that you're going to get unless you can, you know, really talk a guy into staying and signing a multi-year deal. But I don't think the haul would be that substantial because it's only going to be for a couple months. But if a team really needs a left-handed bat, well, you know, they definitely have one in Moustakas. They have a switch hitter in Grandal who does an adequate job behind the plate. You know, they might be able to get something because catching is huge and there's not many good ones out there. But I think Moustakas would probably garnish a little bit more of a return for you because of his ability to play multiple positions and the fact that he's a good left-handed hitter. He can hit lefties as well.
Ben, this is different now because, as you mentioned, the one deadline. Do you see, we've seen some moves happen already, like Cashner and Encarnacion a couple weeks ago. Do you see that kind of being, like, next couple of weeks, there'll be a move a day, or do you really see a flurry maybe the 30th and the 31st, especially with how many teams are going to decide in the next 2 weeks if they're in it or if they're not?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's going to be a ton of moves for the simple fact that there's not a ton of guys out there that really are trade bait. I know the Brewers have those guys. You look at the Phillies, like, are they going to be buyers or sellers? It's not like we have a ton of pieces. I think if you see anybody make moves, it's going to be someone like the Padres that have a tremendously deep minor league organization. These guys definitely have pieces that they can move to, you know, to get somebody back in return. You know, Diamondbacks, they do have a piece like it is Zach Greinke. You know, they could dump all that salary if a team is willing to go out and take a starting pitcher. Now, he's a guy that they would have control for a couple more years. I don't think there's going to be a ton of activity because I think the discrepancy between those teams at the top, and I'm saying the Astros, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves, these teams are so much better than the rest of the teams. I think there's just such a disparity between those really good teams and the teams that just are kind of, you know, we might make it in the playoffs. I think you kind of realize, you look down the line and say, well, you know what, there's just no way we can get through that Yankees lineup. There's no way we can get through that pitching that the Astros have. So I think the teams are most likely going to just sit on their hands, stay put, and not really kind of demolish that minor league system. If they have some good deep prospects at the minor league level, then we might say, you know what, we might want to take that chance. We're just going to sit back and not deplenish our minor league system.
Ben, appreciate it. Good stuff, and we will be in touch down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Ben Davis joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, radio.com sports MLB insider Ben Davis. Great Midwest Bank looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. And as Ben's talking there, I mean, it's what do we got here? We got a league with no salary cap, and where are the good teams? We both predicted the other day at the midseason break, they're the two best teams in the league. New York, L.A., market one, market two.
Yeah. And, you know, Boston is always going to be right there. It's just a – but it's been like that for a long time. I mean, Kansas City had a nice little run. Even San Francisco is a big market when they won their three World Series. That's a – you know, that's a bigger market. So, yeah, the big markets are going to always be there in Major League Baseball because – you know, they got the revenue sharing in baseball, but that's just not enough. That's just not, they just don't get it compared to what the NFL and the NBA do. They realize that, hey, we need a salary cap to get everybody on the same playing field. And even then, sometimes the Bucks are can't compete because they, you know, they can't get a Kawhi Leonard or they can't get a KD to come to Milwaukee. But, you know, I think the Brewers, if there was a salary cap in baseball, they'd be able to compete. They would have competed a long time ago. And then wouldn't have to worry about, you know, getting bargain basement guys in. They could go out and get some pitching, and they don't have to worry about losing guys once they're you know, they become the salary cap. But once they passed arbitration, you know, the arbitration years are done, that they have to worry about trading those guys.
You know, the odds do seem stacked against our teams from time to time, with like the super teams in the NBA and then the salary cap in baseball. And so I just hope it's not 20 years from now when we say, hey, remember 2019? Remember 2018, 2019? The Brewers were a game away and the Bucks were two wins away. And they had those windows and they couldn't take advantage. And they tried and they sustained success and they made the playoffs, but there was that one year where they were both so close. Again, it's too soon from that. The Brewers are in the middle of their next season. The Bucks yet to start their next one. But I do worry that, you know, the way we look at the Packers, the two titles with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and there's so much what could have been. I worry that we're heading that way with these teams. Because Ben is right. The Dodgers could go. They have two teams that could win and make the playoffs. The Yankees are amazing. So even if you're going to add pieces, if you're the Brewers, you've got to add multiple pieces just to get to that point. And then you're going to face the Dodgers that, oh, by the way, just got A.J. Pollock back. Oh, remember him? Oh, he's very good. Now he's starting again, which means their bench is even deeper. And then the Yankees lineup is terrific. And if you don't face the Yankees, it's the Red Sox or the Astros. MLB did get very top-heavy. There's a lot of teams trying to figure out if they're going to buy or sell, but there's also a few teams that are just far and above anything that the Brewers can produce, even on a good day.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA, same way. NBA's top-heavy, same teams the last few years. And the same thing, yeah, baseball. I don't want the Brewers to turn into the Kansas City Royals. I mean, the Royals, you knew this was going to come again. The Royals are back to being bad again, all right? And they're going to have to go through some rebuilding. And they're going to have to, you know, go through with young guys. And hopefully they can turn it around and, you know, grow like they did with, you know, a few years ago when they went to the World Series and won the World Series. So they're going to have to go through some growing problems. And I think the Brewers will probably be the same thing. You just hope that, you know, they're not going that direction right now. But after they win a little bit, if they do win, they'll probably have to be right back to the rock bottom again where they're trading some of their big pieces off. They're, you know, they're stars, who they groom through the farm system. And then they're back to being bad again.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, 799-1250. Chuck and Winkler here.
It's Chuck and Bud. That's the name of our team, and they will win with an effort supreme because they broadcast the professional way, and that's why we love Chuck and Bud.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Brewers tonight, Brandon Woodruff v. Bryce Wilson for the Braves. We'll have the on-deck show coming up at 6 o'clock. Tim Allen in the post-game show to follow. Ryan Horvath.
What's up, guys?
We miss anything today?
Horvath.
A couple different things. We got the Warriors GM comes out today, says they did not acquire D'Angelo Russell to flip him. So it looks like, at least as of right now, he's in their future plans. So maybe Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Russell in a three-guard backccourt.
Yeah, why does everyone think that's so hard to figure out?
Especially I mean, first in today's
of all,
NBA.
Yeah, and Klay's out half the season. D'Angelo Russell is, I am so high on him. I was high on him, honestly, before he got over to Golden State. I thought that this could be a big year for him, and I think it still will.
Same here.
But they acquired D'Angelo, and they're going to flip him. Why?
Well, they could figure it out with three guards. Steve Kerr's guard himself back in his playing days. He could figure it out in offense to work all three of those guys. I don't see what the problem is either.
And you can't have three guards on a team anymore?
I mean, three starting guards, three shooters. It's a shooter's league.
You could almost play Klay at the three, though, because he's such a good defender. And depending on who you're playing against, I guess you'd have to rotate your lineups. I mean, they got a year to figure this out, right? Anyway, this year it's just going to be about let's try to win 45 to 50 games. I still think the Warriors are a playoff team.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think any worse than a six seed.
Yeah, but they're not championship level. That's the. I mean, their bar right now is championships.
I don't know what championship level is right now though, because it's like okay, the Lakers and Clippers, we're going to say championship level, and then we're going to say the Jazz, and then we're going to say the Bucks only in the East, maybe the 76ers. So I feel like this year more than ever, there's going to be so much parity. I've never been this excited for an NBA season.
You've got four All Stars if you're the Warriors. You still have four All Stars.
Yeah. Well. I mean, we don't know how the chemistry is going to work on these other teams, though.
Like, I was thinking about this. In the 90s, we always knew Jordan was winning the finals. And then the 2 years Jordan was gone, we knew the Rockets most likely were going to win the finals. Or maybe, like, the Knicks would finally get their chip. But same thing. In the early 2000s, we always had an idea. Like, for the last 4 years, 5 years, we know it's going to be LeBron James or it's going to be the Warriors. And, like, the 80s and 70s frames, was it the same? Like, it was, you had the Celtics, you had the Lakers.
In the 80s, it was the Lakers and Phillies. So this is why they went to 2-3-2, because it was Boston and the Lakers.
Always.
Or, you know, Philly and the Lakers. But it was Boston and the Lakers. Those were the two teams. It was Bird against Magic. And instead of going 2-2-1-1-1, they figured, okay, it's the same teams every year. Why are we flying cross-country five times? Let's just do it a couple of times and go 2-3-2. It was the same teams all the time.
Right, and so I feel like this year, it's kind of like college hoops. It's like the NCAA tournament. We really have no idea. Maybe the Jazz win 60 games, maybe they win 45, and you know Conley doesn't work out in Utah under that system. No. But I don't know. I'm excited for this season. I put up on Twitter that it was going to be the best NBA season ever, and people were like, well, I don't know about that because look at the markets. You know, last year the finals struggled because nobody wanted to watch Toronto. You know, you want L.A. and Boston. Well, I'm like, well, that's not what I'm talking about.
I think though. The NBA season, the regular season, is tough. It's tough to get excited for it, to tell people on. This off-season stuff, people are into this stuff. People are into the player movement and all that, this fantasy of football, this fantasy basketball of moving guys around and, you know, just that sort of thing. But once the games start, I think once the regular season starts, it's just people lose interest in the regular season.
No, the problem will be, because there you might see some stories about ratings decrease and stuff. All the teams are out west. Mm-hmm. The teams we want to watch are out west. And so you're going to have a lot of, like what they were worried about this last year and why Adam Silver said we might try to move some games up. The 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock games is going to be Pistons-Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Heat-Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't have the same pop as Clippers-Lakers.
Yeah.
Or Rockets-Warriors.
Yeah. Right, which is a good point because I'm always bored by that 6 p.m. game because I always feel it's Detroit. You know, and I feel like the
6 p.m. game is like watching basketball in 2003 when it was the Pacers and the
Knicks.
Pistons scoring 80 points between them.
Right. Yeah, just really, really
basketball
boring.
Was so bad then.
Well, in the 90s, it was that way in the 90s, too. You'd get games 81-75. Lakers and Pacers always take the under because it's going to go about 150 points.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and the Pacers were good, too, but I was just bored by Reggie Miller and Rick Smits. I was like, God, this is boring.
You'd get halftime scores like 39-38.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah. Grant Hill would be injured, so it'd be like Joe Dumars and Lindsey Hunter you'd be watching on national TV. Like, all right,
It would be just grinding out defenses.
2000s basketball was rough, man.
Well, this is 90s, especially, with the grinding it out.
That lockout season was just so bad.
99.
And I mean, you could talk about like the Bucks being competitive in those years, but I don't know. When Jordan left, that was bad. Like, imagine what it's going to look like when LeBron. I feel like that's the good thing about basketball is now we're building up these superstars. Like, Giannis is becoming a bigger name. Whether you like Durant or you hate him, he's a big name. So then when you lose like LeBron in a couple of years, because he eventually has to retire, I don't think the game will struggle the way it did when Mike left. Like the ratings were awful.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Well, I mean, hopefully there's some of these young guys who are coming up are going to be able to carry the league.
It's all about staying healthy. Like, guys used to stay healthy. Like, when Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady, like, we talk about those guys, Brandon Roy, it's like, oh, man, imagine what it would have been without injuries. But now it's like every other guy is hurt. Durant goes down. Kyrie with a broken kneecap a couple years ago. Anthony Davis always hurt. So that's what scares me, I guess, about the future of basketball is just these guys are playing so much. And they're just too big and strong now, I feel. Like, is that what you guys think?
Well, the playoffs are going on forever, too.
Yeah, that
the playoffs are going on forever. I mean, these guys, look at the Bucks season. Giannis had to play until Memorial Day weekend and didn't even get to the championships.
Yeah, LeBron's played like 8 full seasons just in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And some Olympics.
Yeah, and Giannis going to play He's going to play in the FIBA.
I don't like guys doing that. I used to not care. Like AAU basketball for college and high school players, whatever. But now, ever since that Paul George Olympics thing where you saw his leg snap, I just do not like guys playing in any summer leagues at all.
Well, and Giannis, he's gonna cherish playing these FIBA games with Greece as much as he is with the Bucks. He's looking forward to it, man. He wants to represent his home country.
Some more NBA news. J.R. Smith got waived. He's not going to be a L.A. Laker. Would you take a guy like J.R. Smith?
I knew that'd come up on the show.
Well, good job.
I knew that'd come up today. Thanks.
It is a story.
Yeah.
Is it a why?
Not,
is that, a
not that he's coming to the Bucs.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a streaky shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how cheap you're going to get him right now, but.
There's someone else that got waived yesterday that I would rather have.
Christian Wood. I saw that.
Wood.
Yeah, okay.
Has been sent packing.
Why?
From the New Orleans Pelicans.
No money there?
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's very good.
Hey, now.
I know. We could look at his Wisconsin Herd stats when he was putting up 40 and 30 every night. But, yeah. I mean, there's a reason.
did Christian Wood, did he bash the Pelicans like he did the Bucks when he got the show in the door?
There's a reason why you wanted 75-year-old Pau Gasol and not Christian Wood.
Yeah.
You know. And you could say championship experience, but if the guy could play, I think you hold on to him. As well as that, Tiger Woods says the Masters took a toll on him.
Yeah, I saw the headlines of that. What was he saying?
So pretty much just that, like, right now it's hard to focus for him, that he just put it all into winning that tournament. So now I'm a little nervous he's never going to win another major.
So is he burned out?
He's a little burned out.
Like Koepka said a couple of weeks ago, he was burned out.
He's burned out. He said he's not quite as sharp as he'd like to be right now. His touch around the greens is right where it needs to be, but he's got to get in the shape of the golf ball a little bit better than he is right now. So just talking about how his game is not right where he wants it.
Well, when these guys go out and play in these tournaments, man, that's stressful. I mean, every shot, you're just putting everything into every shot. Look how long it takes for these guys to line up a wedge shot or a shot from, you know, using the long irons from distance. It's a mental grind, these things, and I think that's where, you know, some of these guys get burned out a little bit.
And that's what scares me about Tiger, because during the struggles, I mean, he had a lot going on, obviously, off the golf course, so I think that took a toll mentally, but his body just physically, I mean, remember he got really big, really strong. I think he was juicing personally, but I know he was doing those quote-unquote military workouts, and then his back wasn't right, and his body was just breaking down. Now I feel like with Tiger, it's all about his legacy. He's worried about winning Masters and winning major tournaments, and I feel like it's all like a mental thing with him at this point.
He doesn't need to do anything else. I mean, if he doesn't catch Jack, people aren't going to hold that against him.
No.
I think he'll hold it against himself, though.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that he came back and won the Masters after every... I mean, he doesn't have to win another major.
I don't think it's good enough for him, though.
But I mean,
feel like him and LeBron... Like, LeBron James, like, I think that Michael Jordan thing bothers him more than we know about.
I mean, he came back to win the Masters after all that at age 42. I think that was a pretty huge accomplishment.
Oh, absolutely.
And he won the players. I think he won the tour championship last September or so. That was pretty big, too.
I think it was the sports moment of the year. Him and his son hugging.
Oh, yeah.
I think that when it's all said and done, I think that'd be my vote.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bill Michaels show up next 10 to 2. The Wendy's Big Show 2 to 6. Tomorrow, more chances at State Fair tickets. We'll do some Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything. And there's one event that I think still hangs over us, not just as Packer fans, but the entire state and how we view sports. We'll take a look at that tomorrow. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins on The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.